And welcome to this very fun episode we're going to have today during this pledge drive of Juno afternoon. We've got a really full show for you today, including Aaron Suhring and Dave Hunsecker are going to be talking about this really cool new graphic novel that David is the author of. We're going to also be talking to Heather Parker and Kate Pressing at the Learning Connection about computer classes coming up. George and Bridget Kuhar are going to be here talking about an incredibly cool performance they're going to do tonight of Nosferatu, one of those creepiest movies ever made, and their brand new soundtrack that they have made for it that they will be performing live tonight. Also, First Friday coming up, and we're going to be talking to Christiane Carrillo about that at the Jack, and also Herb Bonnet. He's got an exhibit called Art Matters for First Friday. It's all ahead, including some more snow mixing with rain in the afternoon today, and snow accumulation up to an inch. Snow showers likely tonight, and mostly cloudy skies happening for tomorrow with a chance of rain and snow in the morning, and then mostly cloudy skies Thursday night. Well, like I said, Dave Hunsecker, Aaron Suhring sitting here with me right now. Thanks for coming to the studio, you guys. I appreciate you coming in. And
thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Dave, so exciting. This other career that you never probably predicted you would have had.
You are now
an author of a graphic novel. And yeah. Tell me about the name of it, and tell me a little bit about, give me a little bit of background on the graphic novel that you have authored.
It's a novel called The North End of the World that I did with the artist Christopher Shy, who was a pretty well-known guy in graphic novel circles, published by Blackwatch Comics. And it's a story based on a true story about Edward Curtis, the well-known Indian photographer, who in 1914 went to the north end of Vancouver Island to make a feature film, not a series of stills that he's best known for, but a feature film with romance and mystery and darkness and shamans and beautiful maidens and war, called In the Land of the Headhunters. But his hidden agenda was to go and try to revive some of the forbidden, illegal ceremonies of the Kwakiutl or Kwakiwak people, and especially one called the Hamatsa, which was a ritualistic cannibal performance that Curtis seemed very much to want to be part of.
When you say ritualistic cannibal performance, was there actually cannibalism happening as well, or do we know? Or
that was the question.
Yeah.
That's the, you talk to the people today, and they say pretty much most of them will say absolutely not. It was all done with incredibly good stage trickery. The point about it, though, and this is interesting to anybody who's read about Artaud, the theater writer, the playwright and theorist, he believed that it was possible for a collective group of people to achieve an altered state together through a theatrical performance.
And that's, well, this is a trance, the trance kind of thing that can happen. And I mean, this is something that happens to people worldwide in lots of different ceremonies.
Right.
And it's just kind of the way the mind can work when these repetitive things can happen. And so they were trying to achieve that as far as like sort of a spiritual journey.
Yeah, interestingly enough, the plot of the story surrounding the cannibal, the Hamatsa, and the Tlingit here in our region have a similar story. The Kwakiutl one is a little bit more detailed than any of the Tlingit versions I've heard, but it's almost the exact same story as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm quite serious. It is the people journey to a strange place. They meet the various helpers of in the case of the Hamatsa, the cannibal at the north end of the world, they unwittingly partake of human flesh at first. Then they have to do battle with the cannibal himself, kind of on his own terms. It's basically the plot of Texas Chainsaw.
Well, now you're talking my language.
Well,
all
it's
right.
Halloween.
Texas
Perfect.
Chainsaw.
Halloween.
Yeah, that's right. Aaron, tell me a little bit about how you guys are getting involved at Alaska Robotics.
Well, so yeah, we sell graphic novels, and we're happy to have one that's locally created here. So we're doing a big release on Friday. It's our gallery walk for this month, and so 4 to 7 on Friday, we're gonna have a reception and some goodies, and we'll have Dave there. He'll be signing and talking about the book and just.
It's such an exciting thing. Now, Dave, I mean, I didn't mention it first. Probably I should mention that people might probably more familiar with your name as a playwright, someone who's written plays here in town, and also as a screenwriter. If they know you, they might know that you're a screenwriter.
Right.
And there's two things about what you were just saying that are fascinating to me. One is that this is a graphic novel based on a true story. Now, that doesn't seem to me like mostly graphic novels are more of a fantasy and fantastical and often like that. But is that right, Naren?
They kind of are based along the whole superhero themes of Marvel and DC or the big names in that. But it's really not so much anymore. There's a whole band of third-party comics where, like, yeah, it's all about people's stories, and there's some really, really powerful stuff in there. There's definitely a comic book for everybody out there, so it's not all
maybe in the
fantasy.
Tradition of true crime detective stories.
Sure, there's those too. Yeah,
everything.
Anything.
Yeah. So I have the most intelligent biography I've read of Robert Oppenheimer is actually a graphic novel.
Yeah, that one's great.
And but this is a world that's new to you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, tell me about you developed this relationship with this artist. Let's talk about the artist a little bit.
Yeah.
And you happen to develop the relationship with him through your work as a screenwriter.
Right. Christopher Shai, in addition to illustrating and sometimes writing graphic novels, is a Hollywood storyboard artist and production designer.
Which I think that's one of these things people out that aren't in that business at all don't even think about, that of course you would want to have incredibly talented artists storyboarding when you're pitching things to movie producers, right?
Yep.
Like you want it to look great. Yeah, you want it to look like what's, you know, like how you're imagining it, how awesome it's going to look.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to me that there's a whole, and of course, when you think about it, of course there is, but it's interesting to me to think about that there's a whole profession of people that kind of specialize in that and they're highly sought after and that whole thing, and maybe very well known for that particular skill.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So he is kind of known as one of those people.
Yeah. He's done a lot of things, and I was working on a script about it was kind of a fantasy thing about a circus, and he came in and did about 8 or 10 conceptual paintings for that, which were really amazing. And then he liked my stuff and I liked his stuff. And so we sort of decided to try to, do this graphic novel, which was really intriguing to me, but a whole new world, as you say. I mean, I didn't know anything about it at all.
So how did you find out? What was the first thing you did?
I went to a Barnes & Noble, and I had to be shown to the section, and I plunked myself down on the floor and surrounded myself with all these things and was horrified at how much they cost and didn't buy a single one. And I went through I would like to say.
Aaron's gritting his teeth over here.
I know, I'm sorry.
I mean, first of all, Barnes & Noble. And then
this
secondly,
is before Aaron and the lads had opened their shop down here, I would have gone there for sure. And actually, I did go talk to them at a certain point here about this. And I,
that impressed you and noticed? What did you notice about graphic novels right off, coming from your background as a screenwriter and a playwright and an author? What was it? What were the things that you kind of noticed right away about how graphic novels were different?
There's the movie right in front of you. I mean, that was what was wonderful, and I saw immediately how this could be a really interesting, what an interesting thing to do with a screenplay it could be, because you're essentially right. A screenplay as written is very much how a graphic novel, the words part of it would look. You're essentially describing a scene, you're describing the action, and hopefully you have more action than talking. And then you're creating dialogue. And so Christopher, in creating The North End of the World, essentially went off of, you know, my blueprint was a screenplay, more or less. I mean, there were some adaptations that had to be done. In some cases, you have to work a little bit harder to establish a voice for each character. When you see it in a movie, you see or hear who's talking. So I was working a lot on vocabulary of each of the characters. Mm-hmm. And then there were a lot of the same challenges. I mean, he was essentially designing sets. We went to Fort Rupert, which is the place where Curtis shot this. We went to the Hopi, some of the Hopi mesas in Arizona. The first part of the book takes place in there among the Hopi people and, you know, inside of Kiva and at the pueblos there. We wandered around in the woods of Vancouver Island.
Really interesting, and that's what's so fascinating. It's all about real places, so wanting to connect it. How did the working relationship happen? Did you just write this and then he went off and did it, or did you guys really collaborate as the book was being developed?
We collaborated as the book was being developed. This was new ground for him too, as it was for me. All of his things in the past have been about zombies and vampires, and he won a big prize last year for Soul Stealer, which was a series he has that he did with the writer and actor Michael Easton. About an angel who goes down into hell and brings out people.
A fantasy type work.
Very much a fantasy thing. And so to try to do something based in real people. But Christopher knew something about Curtis and had always admired his photographs. So he would send me pages as he would complete them. And that was fun. And after I got used to it a little bit, I could see that I could do something to greatly simplify what was going to cost him 5 pages to do. I could do it with a slight change in dialogue. And so that happened a lot.
A lot like you'd have to do in movies as you're working with movies and budgeting.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Locations aren't working out or those kinds of things. Yeah, right.
It just snowed today, so can you work that in?
Rewrite.
There was some of that went on in this. But it was a very pleasant process. We did it from thousands of miles apart. When it was the final edit, then I went to his studio in Madison, Wisconsin, and we sort of completed it there along with it, and the publisher showed up, and that was a very enjoyable time. So it was interesting.
And then you took it to New York Comic Con, which is like the second biggest, I think, kind of Comic Con, right? Yep. There's San Diego, and then there's the New York one, and pretty exciting stuff, right?
Yeah.
Tell them, come on, spill the beans. Well, let's crow a little bit here.
I got nominated. It got nominated as a graphic novel of the year.
There you go.
So we won't know whether it won or not, but until the end of the year, which is pretty.
But
soon.
That I can't imagine.
Still
that must be a
put
pretty
on your dust jacket. There.
Yeah,
yeah. We need to put. Yeah. Right. No, we've had some really wonderful reviews. In fact, I got to have dinner with Peter Straub, who's a writer of horror fiction and works with Stephen King sometimes, and he's a big fan of it, so he wrote us this glowing review and turned out to be a nice guy with a very twisted mind, as you might suppose, which is probably why he liked this book.
Yeah,
it's a pretty dark book.
It's
perfect for Halloween.
It's perfect.
Great day to release it, yeah.
That's right. And, it just must be really exciting to have kind of worked in a brand new area for you and then to have it be recognized as something that's at the top level of what people are putting out. I mean, that's an exciting.
That was cool, but it's really exciting to be here at home and be really launching it. I mean, we officially launched it at the Comic-Con, but it's still not on Amazon or it's not available in any bookstores. And so this is the first event of its kind that we're having at Alaska Robotics. So I'm real excited to be here.
Yeah, we're groundbreaking here.
Basically a world premiere.
Yeah,
it's essentially a world premiere. Right, Comic. Yeah. There was this little thing called Comic Con, and then now it's
but Alaska Robotics.
Alaska Robotics.
Yeah. Let's put it
downtown
in its place.
Juno. Here it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's happening. It's a first Friday event happening at Alaska Robotics, starting at 4:00.
Yep, 4 to 7, and down 220 Front Street, right on Front Street there, and.
And it's The North End of the World, a new graphic novel. Dave Hunsecker is the author of it. It's wonderful, dark, beautifully put together, and a very intriguing story, which has been nationally recognized as one of the top graphic novels of the year. And if not, we don't know yet, but
possibly
if not the
best.
Top. That's right. So congratulations on it, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks
Andy.
So much for coming in, you guys.
Thanks for
really
having
appreciate
thanks.
It. All
okay.
right. Halloween here on Excellent Radio and KTOO.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. My monster from its slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mess.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mess.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mess.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mess.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sound. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive at their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five. They played the Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They played the Monster Mash. Out from its coffin, Drax's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, "Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?" It's now the Monster Mash.
Oh, Bobby, Boris Pickett there with the Monster Mash here on Halloween. And I'm joined next by Learning Connection folks, Heather Parker and Kate Prussinger here. Thanks to you guys for coming in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Thanks for having us.
And you guys are teaching some computer classes that are coming up. So, Kate, I'll talk to you first. Take it away. What kind of stuff are you doing? And then we'll talk to Heather about what stuff you're doing. And then other stuff that happens at the Learning Connection, like GED orientation and cool stuff like that, too.
Okay, great. So we offer computer classes, and we have a variety of classes that we offer. Typically what we do is each month we start a new set of classes that we offer in the evening. And they'll meet on a cycle of a Monday-Wednesday cycle or a Tuesday-Thursday cycle. So tomorrow night is our first class, and we've got Introduction to Microsoft Excel. And so that'll be going on Tuesdays and Thursdays during the month of November. And then on Mondays and Wednesdays, so starting next Monday, will be, I'm sorry, I mixed that up. It's the Introduction to Computers, Internet, and Email will occur on the Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
And Introduction to Microsoft Excel will start next Monday. And that'll run on Mondays and Wednesday evenings.
Very cool. All right. Well, Heather, take it away. What stuff are you concentrating on as this,
well, this
training comes up here?
We also have... I teach English as a Second Language and Citizenship with the Learning Connection, and I'm also our volunteer coordinator. And new this year, through a grant from the city and borough, we're able to offer English classes that combine English language and computer skills. The goal is getting people ready to get in the workforce. So it's,
what kind of specific stuff is it about that combines computer skills with this sort of teaching English as a second language?
We have access to a lot of different resources. We have access to a website called News for You. It's a newspaper that's designed for adult learners, and students can read and then listen to the stories. There's also, I'm also introducing them to different, like Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, practicing making a resume, doing job applications, registering them with Alexis, the Alaska Labor Exchange System, mm-hmm. and then, of course, referring them to different programs that our center offers.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, it's something that, you know, you don't think about often. We sort of, I mean, computer technology is so ubiquitous and everything, and I guess you sort of think, well, if someone's a Spanish speaker, for instance, they would just kind of be able to have that all interpreted on their Word or whatever, but then those things aren't as smooth, and so...
And the
right?
keyboard is different than it is in other countries, which isn't something we'd necessarily think about. But one of my students the other day was saying, oh, the letter A is in a totally different location, so I have to relearn the keyboard.
That's interesting. What are languages are typically the languages that people are most commonly trying to, you know, is their first language
yeah.
here in Juneau?
We had, we served students from 35 different countries last year.
Wow.
We have a lot of Spanish speakers.
So
we
you
also
know a
have,
lot of languages.
I just know Spanish and English.
Oh, okay.
But I wish I knew Korean and Vietnamese and Russian and Japanese and all sorts of different languages.
A lot of the Pacific Rim kind of, yeah, a lot
right.
of
right. But we serve students from all over.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. Okay. Well, so tell me more. What else is going on there?
One other additional thing that we just started this fall with our new grant year is that we've got some open lab times that people can just come in. We have an instructor in there. Actually, I'm the instructor in there.
not going to be naming who it is. Well, it's me. All right, it's me.
And then we also have I actually work with volunteers that come in also to be able to give assistance. But during that open lab time, people can get more specific help for whatever area they need to be in. So if the classes that we're not offering exactly at that time aren't really meeting their needs, maybe one of the other open lab times can really help. So I can put them on other software programs. I can put them on a typing tutorial. I can help them fill out applications, use the Alexa system, build a resume. So I kind of, when they get in, I have them register. I kind of speak with them for a little bit, find out really what they need, and get them going in the right direction and continue to check on and kind of triage between the different people that are in there.
I mean, CERC and the Learning Connection is such a cool resource for this community and for people just to go in. And like you say, I want to find out about how to do this, and I don't know where to start. It's a great place for people to start, is to come and talk to you guys or to go online and send an email or to call.
Yeah, definitely. Kate's also done a wonderful job of creating a partnership with the Juno Job Center, and every second Thursday from 10 to 12, someone from the Juno Job Center comes to the Learning Connection CERC and does a workshop on applying for jobs and registering with the Alexa system. So for people who might have a hard time getting to the job center out the road, they have access to the same resources right here downtown, which is wonderful.
Right, and that's on Ferry Way. Is that the...
Yeah, it's 210 Ferry Way.
Okay. And so let's talk a little bit about this GED orientation thing that's happening, too, that you guys kind of helped put together. So this is for new students, and it happens every Monday? Is that...
That's correct.
What's going on? Okay, so tell me about the GED program there and what you guys do.
Well, the Learning Connection also
I know you guys,
offers...
neither one of you guys are the front people on that. Right, on that mission, exactly, right? But
we've all had many hats at Connection
right.
CERC. So the GED is an alternative to the high school diploma, and it's 5 different tests. And if people would like to find out more information about the GED, then a good place to go is GED orientation on Monday mornings. It's at the Learning Connection at 210 Ferry Way, and it's from 10 to 12. And for students to register for GED classes. We have writing classes and math classes, and we have individual tutors, and we have computers available for people who want to practice their reading and writing and math. That's a great place to start. And you can either just come in on Monday at 10 a.m., or you can sign up and register. And the phone number for the Learning Connection is 586-5718.
Great. Well, anything else you guys want to cover while we're talking about all these great programs? And if not, we'll just... Let's do a quick recap.
Sure. Well, another great program that we have down there that I can talk about is the JobX program.
Oh, yeah, which KXLL has participated in. We've had great interns come in and work with us through JobX. I don't know if intern is the right word.
That's close enough.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. It's sort of like what happens. It's, you think about things that you want help on and that would be good for someone who's coming in to learn about your business. And it's great because... What's really fun about and cool about that is there's not a lot of overhead for the people having to have the business, because the person working in it deals with the JobX person for hours and pay and all that stuff, and you just have to and you just wait for the person to show up, and they show up on time
and supervise them
right. And then you also have a little bit of recourse if someone doesn't show up or that kind of thing. I can always call the JobX people and say, what's going on, and then usually it gets rectified and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a really great easy If there's a business out there that wants beginning internships, JobX is a great way to do it, because it's a very low stress way of doing internships.
Right, right. We're a great source of information for if an employer is looking to place people or needs employees. But we're also, so if anybody's between 16 and 24 and they're looking for employment and they want some career guidance, If they're looking for work, if they want help with their resume, if they need help filling out applications, just kind of that whole process, we can help walk them through that process. And then one component of it, like you said, Andy, is doing those work experiences. And in those work experiences, our organization is the employer of record, and we will pay the intern, and we look for businesses to mentor them.
Yeah, it's been great for us, and it's a great relationship that develops there, and really a good way to have interns, and also a great way for people who participate in it just to find out more about the work experience and what that's going to be like. All right, the Learning Connection, all happening. One more recap on the computer classes that are happening.
So we have English as a Second Language computer classes on Monday and Wednesday from 1 to 3 o'clock downtown. I also quickly wanted to mention that we have a satellite location at Greening Park. It's across from Walmart. It's at 1800 Northwood Drive, apartment G49. And there are English as a Second Language classes there. There's computer classes, and there's also a family learning program. So there's a homework club for youth. There's also parenting classes. So that's a whole another resource that's also part of the Learning Connection. And if you have any other questions, please give our center a call at 586-5718, and our website is www.serrc.org/TLC, and we're a wonderful resource in Juneau, and we'd love to have you.
Absolutely. Well, the Learning Connection, thanks so much, you guys, for coming in. I appreciate it, and good luck with all. Boy, a lot of stuff on your plate, but good luck with all of it coming up.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for having us.
Sure.
Love that song.
That's Nosferatu. That's written by George and Bridget Kuhar. They'll be performing that live tonight, and they're scheduled to be here on Juneau Afternoon a little bit. We'll see if we get to that. But we wanted to mention real quick here, Cheryl, thanks for coming in. It is the Pledge Drive, and we wanted to take a quick break just to let people know that shows like this, Juneau Afternoon, come to you because of the commitment that this station makes to connect to the community, and it all happens because of your commitment to this station. And there's a real easy way to make a commitment to the station and make sure these shows keep coming to you.
All you have to do is make a contribution at 586-3636 or make your gift online at ktoo.org. You know, this program is so important on a lot of different levels. We hear from so many different community voices every single day. We generally have four, even sometimes five guests who come in through the course of the hour and talk about what they're doing that contributes to our community, be it an art performance or a talk they might be giving or some interesting travel or trip that they've just been on. And I know many, many, many groups contact us to try to be on the show. The show fills up weeks in advance. And we hear anecdotally from people how often they learn about the things that are happening in this town because of this program. And I just think it's just such a great show of how connected KTOO is to the community and what an impact a community station like this can have.
It's a big thing. I mean, this is community radio. That's what this is. And we call ourselves public radio, but specifically this station is a community radio station. I mean, that's sort of a definition of it. We're not affiliated with a university, which is with a lot of public radio stations are. We're not affiliated with another organization. We're affiliated with the community, and we were formed by the community. And that is absolutely core to our mission, and that kind of drives everything we do. And there's no other show that really exemplifies that more than Juneau Afternoon, where the entire point of this show is to connect with Facebook community. It's not to necessarily bring you hard news. It's not necessarily to have some other agenda. It's just to connect to the community. So that's why we have lots of different community members. And the last half hour is a great example. We had this exceptional artist in town, Dave Hunsecker, who's a wonderful playwright and screenwriter who's done a great new project, this graphic novel. And then we heard about computer classes from the Learning Center, the Learning Connection, and two pretty different topics, but there you go. They're both part of the community, both about things happening in this community, and those organizations that put those things on, this show is vital to them to make sure that people in Juneau know about what's happening in this town.
Yeah, one of the other nice things with this program, Pat Moore has been hosting it on Tuesdays and Fridays, and he's dedicated a portion of every Tuesday program to look at issues of sustainability in our community, and he's creating essentially what's going to be an entire series of content around this topic, exploring everything from vermiculture, which is the cultivation of worms for your garden, to the landfill out in Lemon Creek. So, just another service. And the neat thing, Pat is a volunteer here. He comes down here. He got trained. He does have a radio background, but he does his stint here as host for Juneau Afternoon as a volunteer.
So does Katie Bosler.
Katie Bosler coming in on Mondays is also a volunteer. We've got other volunteers doing public affairs programs on Monday nights, as well as on Tuesday. We have live story readings. These are just some of the examples of how completely connected to the community Juneau, K2 is. And one of the keys to that is you becoming a member. We would not exist. It's that simple. We would not exist if it were not for the financial support of the people who listen.
That's absolutely true. Well, we just wanted to make a quick break here, take a brief moment to make sure you knew that Juneau Afternoon isn't exempt from the need of your support. It is a show that we generate here all locally. It's all done locally by the staff and volunteers here at KTOO, and your contributions contribute directly to making sure that this show stays on the air just the same way it does for All Things Considered and for all the other shows that you listen to here on K2. So we're going to get back to more interviews here with folks from the community. We've got a great couple of artists coming up here, including Christiane Carrillo, we'll be talking to in just a moment. And that all happens because of your support that you've been giving to this station year after year after year, and we're asking for you to do that again at 586-3636. More music from Nosferatu there. Check that out happening tonight. There's two shows at the Go Town Nickelodeon, one at 6:30 and one at 8. Tickets are available at the door, and that's George and Bridget Kuhar doing an exceptionally cool new soundtrack to the classic spooky horror movie from 1922, Nosferatu. And as promised, in the studio with me now is Christiane Carrillo. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great. Well, you tell me, you've got an art show happening at the Jack. That's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's. I think it's my first bigger show here in Juneau. I've had shows in Las Vegas and while I was in school, but it's pretty cool to do it here in my hometown.
Did you have solo shows in Vegas?
Yeah, I had a couple, and I've been part of group shows, but I feel like this might be my biggest one.
It feels like the culmination of some work you've been doing and that kind of thing?
Well, it's a bunch of new stuff that I've been working on just this year. I'm usually an oil painter, and mm-hmm. I decided to just step out of the box, and because everything I've been doing is symbols and, like, hiding it behind, like, oil paintings, and I decided to just make it very blunt and take it out of the diary that I've just been like coming out of like all the all the inspirations I've been doing.
Yeah.
I've just finally taken out of my diary and put it straight up into words. And I used mixed media, which is I'm a graphic designer, so but I'm a painter, so I just mixed both into this show and made it very visceral.
It's really interesting to me that you decided that you wanted to express yourself in a way that you wanted to use a new medium to do that, like that oils just wasn't going to quite do it for you the way you wanted to express what you were trying to express in this this part of your life or recently or whatever, or just for this phase of the art you're working on.
Definitely. I think I was a little bit fed up of people not understanding what was going on with my artwork. Everything's very hidden. And so I straight up just put on wood canvases, string, and paint, and just read it, and I hope they understand it from there. It's pretty vague, but if you connect it to yourself, it's about the unrequited, and I think everybody might connect with that.
Nice. Well, there's a little clue. Now, often artists don't give a clue about what you're supposed to feel, but that's nice to have a little clue to feel. Okay, I'm unrequited. Okay.
Unrequited.
Okay, I'm going to go in. So what was it that made you decide, okay, I've got this show coming up. That's it. I'm doing all new stuff. Because often it's be easier, right, to do more of a, oh, I know this piece is great, and I know I've gotten great response for this one, so I'm going to kind of line up this thing, and I know I can fill up a gallery with all of the work I have. So it's a, kind of a risk to say, I'm going to go with all new stuff for this show that's coming up at the Jack.
Well, here's the thing. Here's a confession. I've been working with other galleries, like, before I signed up for the Jack, and I was kind of rushed. I only had, like, 3 months, and oil paintings take a while. There's layers upon layers. And so I wanted to do something quickly but still as powerful as what I would want it to mean. And so I kind of just threw it in there and I was like, okay, well, I'm still going to paint, but I'm going to be blunt, and I still want people to understand, and I still want the same emotions evoked into it. And so I used typography, just everything I've learned, and put it into something faster. And then from there, I started liking what I was doing. And I started having more fun with it and going further with other things that I could add to it. And so that's what Seeing Red's about, just literally taking words and putting it on.
Yeah. Now, they're just individual words, or will someone be able to actually find meaning in a passage that's happening, or is it more just the expression of one word or two words? Or
They're sentences, phrases, one word, lines, nicknames. I feel like I'm giving out too much now.
Well, that's okay. No, that's okay.
You guys got to go,
You got to go. Okay, so the show is called Seeing Red.
Seeing Red. You know what seeing red means. You're angry. Everything's red. It's a sign of anxiety, just a lot of angst, and I just want people to just feel the tension. Strings, you know.
But red is also passion. It's also
true.
Those things as well.
Yeah, I came up with that myself.
Very good. I like it.
I told him to say that.
Well, Christiane Carrillo, thanks so much for coming in. This is happening first Friday. It's at the Jack.
Yes.
A solo show?
Yes.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot on the line.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
You're like the third person that said that. I'm like really red right now.
Fits with the theme.
I know.
Seeing
I'm
red.
I'm wearing blue, though.
Christiane Carrillo, thanks again.
Thank
for
you.
Coming in. Really appreciate it. And good luck for that show that's happening this first Friday. Great music there from George and Bridget Kuhar, who have joined me in the studio right now. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Andy.
How are you doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Hey, thanks so much for that interview you did with Lindsay Burke over on KXLL. That was really fun to hear that for an hour last night. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, yeah,
really,
it was fun to do.
So you guys are doing this really cool performance tonight that I just can't say enough about. I got to see it a few years ago. It's been 3 years, I think, right?
Four.
4 years ago we saw that. It was over at the Jack. It was. It wasn't a theater. It wasn't a place that was really set up to show a movie necessarily. But you guys, it was a transformative, very cool thing to go see. And what it is the silent film from 1922, Nosferatu, that creepy, creepy film of the vampire, set to brand new music that you guys have written and will perform live. So let's start with the beginning. How did you get the inspiration to write new music to this film?
Well, we wanted to do a show, and Halloween was approaching. This was 4 years ago, and man, I don't know. It just fell out of the sky. I'd heard about that kind of thing being done before, you know, live music for accompanying a silent film, and you know, I think Halloween is probably our favorite holiday.
Yeah. It's a good one.
It's like Christmas.
It's like Christmas.
You know, If you got a spooky nature about you, Halloween is certainly it's the counterculture holiday. That's right.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's right. Well put. Yeah. So and then, you know, it didn't take long, you know, looking at silent horror films for Nosferatu to just pop out and be like, that's the one.
It's a great film. I mean, obviously, it's recognized as a great film, a beautiful cinematic film, German expressionism kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an amazing film. I learned that from Colette Costa yesterday.
Impressive, yeah.
So it's a beautifully shot, creepily shot, contrasts and you know, all kinds of everything that's creepy in the world, rats and all kinds of stuff like that is in this. So it's a fantastic movie for Halloween. But what are some of the challenges? So you wrote this new music. Number one, when you were writing the music, how did you decide about what fit where and what kind of music you were going to write for which scene?
I think it's feeling it out.
Were you kind of watching the film and playing a little bit and that
definitely.
Kind of stuff? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Initially what we did, well, when we were getting started with the project, I had recently written the song Why Oh Why, and I wasn't thinking that that was going to be part of the movie, and Bridget was thinking that that's what I was thinking, and she's like, oh, babe, that's great. Yes, that'll be a great song for the movie. I was like, oh, no. And she was like, oh, yes. You know? And then so that was the first piece of music that was written for the movie that wasn't intended to be a part of the movie.
Right,
but then,
right.
Of course, it's like, oh, well, there's two main sections to that song. There's a minor section and there's a major section. And the two main characters in the movie are the vampire and then the vampire's victim. And so the minor section was given to the vampire. That was his theme. And then the vampire's victim, the heroine of the movie, she was giving the major section. And then after that, once we decided upon that, we just played the movie and just kind of improvised over it a few times. And we recorded what we were improvising and said, oh, well, that works. That doesn't work. That works. And, you know, and then
just kind of
honed in on it from there.
It's an interesting thing because that, I don't know if this was the intention, but when that song plays and that kind of the theme that gets played a lot on Excellent Radio and that I was just playing, it to me lends a little bit of humanity to the vampire. I don't know if that was the intention, but I get the sympathy all of a sudden for his weird plight and that he's this tragic figure in his own right in a way.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, that's a really exceptionally cool thing that happens. The music that you write, of course, silent films, you don't think about it, but the music, just like any other film, makes you feel certain ways, and it carries you through the film in different ways depending on what that music's like. So then you got to perform it live. So what are some of the challenges of them actually performing it live while the movie's playing?
Wow. Hoping that everything goes right, you know?
Yeah.
That's the main.
Yeah. Keyboard works this time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty smooth about it tonight. I suppose I shouldn't jinx it, but I feel like we know this film, and that if all goes well to it, I guess technologically speaking, mm-hmm. those are challenges that we sometimes have, but I'm not jinxing that.
Are there elements of improvisation or adjustment, like
sure.
to the tempo and that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
There are definitely some improv sections. And, you know, we've run it several times over the past few days.
It's always been different.
And it is always, huh. always, you know, even though you're trying your darndest to like, do a certain section, like, oh, this is how it is, and I want to hit this chord, and when it goes to that scene, it's always going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Humanity.
So people should probably see
both
shows.
You should probably see both shows.
Just in case.
Probably need to see both shows.
Yeah, they'll be different.
You don't want to miss the really awesome performance. All right, well, it's happening tonight. You guys probably need to get over there and make sure everything's working right.
Now we get our face paint on.
Okay, yes, and that is the other thing. These guys come to perform, are ready to perform, and so it's a very cool thing. So, once again, it's Nosferatu. It's playing tonight. There's a 6:30 show and an 8 o'clock show. Colette is encouraging people that are going to the earlier show to really get there at 6:15 at the latest in order to get seated, because it's about an 80-minute movie, mm-hmm. and so mm-hmm. to get it played and then get the next show in is going to be a tight transition there. So anyway, it's going to be at 6:30 and 8 o'clock. Tickets are available at the door. And it's going to be incredibly cool. It's Nosferatu. It's George and Bridget Kuhar performing brand new. Well, 4-year-old now. Brand new.
There's some brand
it's
new
different.
Elements.
It's,
There's some
know.
New elements.
Sure.
There's a few.
Yeah.
All right.
Some.
Brand new.
It's
going to
be fresh for
original,
us, too. Yeah.
Originally performed. And Nosferatu, the main theme, recently featured on the NPR music site. So if you're an NPR music site junkie, you have heard this song that was composed and performed by George and Bridget Kuhar. So thanks, you guys, for coming in. Thanks for performing this tonight. I'm excited. Can you tell?
We're excited.
I know
we
you're
can
excited.
Tell you're wearing your favorite shirt.
Yes, I'm wearing my favorite shirt. I'm wearing my party shirt. It's happening. Nosferatu happening tonight. Go
thanks,
check it
Andy.
Out. Okay, thanks, you guys. Nosferatu, very cool stuff. Check it out tonight at Goldtown Nickelodeon. Okay, Art Matters is here. Hello, Art Matters.
Hi.
How are you? Mike Orford and Dez, thanks for coming in.
How are you doing?
You guys are sponsoring a very cool thing happening with Herb Bonnet. Tell me a little bit about the work that he does and why you wanted to sponsor something from him in Art Matters.
Well, he's a great artist. He's been a local here in town for a very long time. And he's actually pretty famous. I'm sure you've seen his work around
Does he work? Give me an idea of the type of stuff. Is it landscapes? Is it more abstract stuff? Or tell me a little bit about his work.
Landscapes, skyscapes, mm-hmm. seascapes. He could be described as a maritime artist. I've seen skies that he's done that are vivid representations of what we actually see here.
Yeah, that's the best thing about them is that it's absolutely amazing color. When you go outside, it's actually pretty hard to capture what we have around us with the camera, but he does it he does acrylics, and mm-hmm. they're just absolutely beautiful.
Now, when you say maritime, does he sometimes do ships as well?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I know Herb. I met mm-hmm. him so now that you mentioned that, I have met him and love his work. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is very – okay.
Cool.
I'm in.
Awesome.
I'm in. This is very good stuff. So, and the one that I saw was he did Captain Cook's ship, yep. I think, and it was in a harbor. Mm-hmm. Absolutely stunningly beautiful mm-hmm. Work, and in acrylic, incredibly detailed work on the ship. So accurate and beautiful and detailed on the ship. But then the seascape, as you said, and the skyscape, stunning. So, yeah, he does absolutely beautiful work. So very cool. So this is a solo show. How many of his works about do you know that you're going to be showing?
Yeah, it's just him. It's going to be upstairs at the Zephyr. It's going to be, I don't know if you guys have ever been there or not, but it's the restaurant downstairs. And upstairs we're going to have our own bar with wine and beer, and then we'll have free appetizers.
That
and
sounds like a really fun event.
Yeah,
great
it's be
food
really
from
great.
The Zephyr.
Oh, yeah.
Bo's an amazing chef.
And actually, Herb will be there. So
okay.
He is a great storyteller, and he's got a story for every single one of his pictures. And so you can come by and drink some wine, have some beer, have some appetizers, talk to him. We do have, we've got easily 20, 25 of his pieces. We've got originals. We've got prints. We actually have an exclusive print that Art Matters has had printed with his permission, and this will be the first time we've shown it. And so you can pick one of those up there.
Tell me a little bit about Art Matters, about the business.
Yeah, Art
itself.
Matters. I'm a framer there. We're a frame shop and a gallery down in the valley. And Art Matters has been around for 11 years. It's on Old Dairy Road in between Rayco and Urgent Care. And so we do custom framings. We can do anything of any size. And we have art gallery, and we're actually not taking art for consignment. So we have quite a turnaround on different types of artwork. So there's always something new.
Different,
and,
new,
yep.
wide variety of stuff.
Mm-hmm, yep. Yeah, we have cool. some posters. We do mainly fine art. But, yeah, we've done framing for a really long time, and we've got just three of us and a lot of experience. And so this is something new. We've done one other show for First Friday mm-hmm. and something we're going to be getting into next month. We're going to do Sharon Lobau at the same place at the Zephyr.
Cool. Yeah.
But this one we've actually been planning for all summer, and we're really excited about. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. His work is, as I said, really beautiful and stunning. And what is it? Is there anything in particular that draws you to his work?
Well, I have worked in the maritime industry for a long time. I'm fascinated by it, and actually met him because I'd been exposed to some traveling, and just called him up and said, "Hey, you got to see this." One thing led to another. We found we have a lot of things in common. I can't paint or draw, but his work has fascinated me for years. It continues to. I can't
play music either, but I run a radio
right.
station. So
yeah,
hey,
right,
yeah,
you
I'm with you. I appreciate musicians.
Yep.
Can't play a lick. But as I said, that's an exciting thing to know about. So it's happening upstairs at the Zephyr. A really fun venue to have an art opening.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be really relaxing, really fun. We'll be able to just come by, have some wine, and then maybe if you want, get a table downstairs, finish off with a dinner. Sounds like a
sure, man.
Really fun date night. Or
yeah,
really
beginning,
fun.
Middle, and end of
exactly.
First Friday right there at Zephyr.
Yeah, you don't even need to go anywhere else. Just there. But we are going to be
and admire the piece of art you bought.
Exactly.
There, you set it up next to the table, have dinner next to it, see how it feels. There
yeah.
you go.
But we are going to be on the the First Friday map, too. So if you were to be doing the rounds, we're in between the canvas and the rookery. So you can just come stop by. And even if you can just pop in for a minute, we've got free food. And
It's definitely right on the route. I mean, you know, it's definitely right on the First Friday route. And you can get those little routes there over at the Jack. If you want to pick one up over at the Jack, you can go over there and pick them up. They're really cool little fold-outs, and they show you all the different places to stop. And the Zephyr sounds like a really good addition to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks you guys for coming in and letting us know about it. Once again, it's Herb Bonnet. It's an exhibit that Art Matters is putting on. And Herb Bonnet, as I said, I can't recommend his stuff enough. It's absolutely beautiful. I got to see both prints and originals, and it was really fun to talk to him as well. It was a really great experience. So I can vouch that this will be a really fun First Friday for sure to go check out his work and be able to pick his brain a little bit about what went into each one of the paintings.
You betcha. He has a story to tell about every single one of them.
All right. Well, yeah. Dez and Mike, thanks so much for coming in. Really appreciate
it. All right.
Thank you.
All right, and good luck on the First Friday.
See you there.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. The Night of the Vampire, Halloween night, trick-or-treat. Stay safe out there as you trick-or-treat around, though. Of course, and please drive slow tonight. Trick-or-treaters are going to be all over the place. Want to thank Dave Hunsecker, Aaron Suring, that new graphic novel, very cool stuff. George and Bridget Kuhar from the Learning Connection, Heather Parker and Kate Pressing, thanks for coming by. Christiane Carrillo, who wanted to mention that Lorraine Durr is the sponsor of her show over at the First Friday at the Jack, Seeing Red, the name of it. And also Mike Orford and Dez from Art Matters, the Herb Bonnet exhibit happening on First Friday at Zephyr. It's going to be good. Well, snow mixing with rain in the afternoon is what's happening right now, and snow showers are still likely for tonight, mixing with rain in the evening. Snow accumulation up to an inch tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and snow in the morning for tomorrow, and mostly cloudy skies for Thursday night. It's Pledge Drive here at KTOO. We'll be talking to you during All Things Considered about that, but we're going to hear next from NPR and headline news coming in right now. Thanks.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo today called on New Yorkers to have patience as officials.